Parshat Devarim. All right, we're starting a new Chumash. Parshat Devarim. Now, most of Devarim are different speeches given by Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael in the last 37 days of his life. Everything in our parsha has already been discussed elsewhere, but there are changes from what was stated earlier. Deuteronomy, the Latin or Greek name, that means Mishnah Torah. Now, what does Mishnah Torah? It means repeat. But the truth is, it's way more than a repeat. There are over 100 mitzvot in Sefer Devarim, 70 of them having nothing to do with anything that was stated previously. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu taught all the laws and history to this new second generation that was about to enter Eretz Israel, and hence the name Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was the teacher. And this book contains some of these teachings that Moshe taught, but the ones that he felt were most relevant for the generation about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe is the speaker. And that's why, even though we mentioned a couple of shiurim ago that probably the most popular pasuk in all of Chumash is Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, it does not appear obviously in all of Sefer Bereshit. Moshe wasn't born yet. But it doesn't appear at all in Sefer Devarim either. Because Sefer Devarim is first-person narrator. It's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. He's not. There's no Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. It's just Moshe speaking.
How many days were...
What? 37 days. Our first speech that we're about to begin with begins on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and Moshe dies on Zayin Adar. So 37 days is all of Sefer Devarim.
He was speaking like...
He gave several different speeches. He gave, that's what I'm going to get to right now. Mishnah Torah of Soloveitchik felt could also be from the words Vishinantam Levanecha, that we're supposed to teach our children, and Moshe was teaching. In fact, Sefer Devarim was Moshe explaining Torah Shebichtav. And if so, Rav Soloveitchik wanted to say Sefer Devarim was our first version of Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe was explaining Torah Shebichtav. After he finished, God said, you know what, I like this, let's write it down. And it became part of Torah Shebichtav. But it was originally explained orally. Yes, sir?
So originally there were only 550 mitzvot
in
Torah?
But maybe, I guess according to this, if we look at it that way, yeah. We mess up all the gematrias of Torah, Tzivah, and okay, well, okay. Yeah, I know, all those things we messed up, and we'd have to work on gematrias.
That's why we're at it.
Right. Now, when does the speech begin? It's, like I said, it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, after having defeated Sichon and Og. The speech lasts through Parshat Devarim and halfway into Parshat Vetchanan. Okay? It's a rather long speech. As I said, after having defeated Sichon and Og, standing now in Eretz Moab, and the purpose is to explain Dvar Hashem. The purpose is to explain the words of God. The initiative to do this was solely Moshe's, says the Ramban. God did not command him to do this. God did not say, listen, I'm not sure the people got it. You know, go give Chazar Ashir. He didn't say that. Moshe on his own said, all right, I need to do this. And this first speech is to give Musar to this generation about the sins that the previous generation had committed in the Midbar, and to discuss the Chaz de Hashem, the tremendous love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to us, with implicit message to keep the mitzvot. Now, Moshe begins, he relays how after spending about a year at Ma'amad at Har Sinai, spending a year in Midbar Sinai, building the Mishkan, God then said to them, enough. Okay, we've been here long enough. It's now time to go and conquer Eretz Yisrael as promised to the Avot. Okay, each one of our Avot were promised to get Eretz Yisrael. And the truth is, if you look at the burning bush, that's what God told Moshe there as well. So you're going to take them out of Egypt, we're going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. That's the plan. The Klei Yakar says an amazing idea. Matan, you ready? Klei Yakar says, so too today, There are many people that gather around the theory of Torah, Midbar Sinai, content with their lives, and don't realize that God is calling us to Eretz Yisrael, to turn theory into practice. Wow. The clay yucker. So cool. Right? They think that that's just good enough. They don't know. Anyway, Moshe said, it's worth coming just for that clay yucker. Moshe said he could not judge Bnei Israel all by himself, and therefore he set up a judicial system with a lower and upper court system. Yes? I'm going to get to that. Moshe instructed them to rule justly, not to be intimidated by the people that come before them, because their job, they're Shlichei Hashem. They're messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should not have any perversion of justice. If they were to pervert justice, this would be a Chil Hashem. And this is the message. Now, as Baruch asks, I mean, like, you know, we all learned the first four books before we got here. How come Yitro's name is not mentioned? Moshe seems to take credit for this idea. And Yitro, that's not even mentioned. How do you understand that? So, a few suggestions that are given. One, it could be the suggestion of Yitro was obvious. I mean, the truth is it is. You look at the situation, at least the way the Midrash explains it, people are waiting for hours, maybe days, to get to Moshe. All of Am Yisrael has one judge. It seems ludicrous that Moshe did not think of this on his own. And therefore, first suggestion is, he obviously had thought of it, but he thought that if he would push it off onto others, it would look like he's shirking his duty. Here it is, he has to explain the Torah. If he would start saying, oh, let me give it to other people, so that would just look bad. Like, he didn't want to do God's bidding. And therefore, he didn't suggest it. Aaron as well looked and obviously saw how ridiculous it looked with the long lines. But he was also hesitant to suggest to Moshe that he was causing a burden to Bnei Israel. And therefore, when Yitro made such a suggestion, Moshe said, you know what? Say that publicly. Let the people hear. Let them hear what you said. And then, like grassroots, people will say, oh, what Yitro said makes sense. This way didn't come from Moshe. This is suggestion number one. And therefore, when Moshe takes credit, or says it in Devarim, because it really was his idea. He just let Yitro be the spokesperson for this idea that he felt all along. Suggestion number one. Suggestion number two. Could say the opposite. Yitro made the suggestion, but Moshe knew that Am Yisrael would never accept the suggestion by his non-Jewish father-in-law, who decided to come in and join and said, oh, I got a great idea how you can change everything. And they said, okay, go back to where you came from. You know, so therefore, Moshe never told anyone it was Yitro's idea. We know, because we got the behind the scenes, Yitro approached Moshe. But when Moshe even spoke about it to the first generation in Parshat Yitro, he just mentioned it as if it was his idea. And therefore, no one ever knew it was Yitro's idea. Yes?
How come they can't know it? Because they have the Torah also. If they have the Torah, they know it.
Oh, okay. So I guess this is before it was put into writing. Right? You're right. This is before it was put into writing. I hear. It's a good question. I hear it. I give a third idea. Rav Amnon Bazak says like this. Yitro made the suggestion about the legal system. But if you look at the Psukim in Devarim, it's really not about the legal system. Moshe felt he needed help in influencing the people, not just in court cases. And when you look at the Psukim here, where there's mention of leaders per Shevet, and it's therefore very different to what Yitro said. Yitro was just talking about, okay, legal system. You're overbooked and you can't try all the cases. But Moshe realized, I'm one person. I need, I guess, modern terminology, a bunch of influencers, right? I need people going on their website, you know, and just sending out on their whatever social media they have that this is the idea. This is what needs to be done. And therefore, it's not just about the legal system. It's about influencing Am Yisrael. And therefore, this is actually Moshe's idea and not Yitro's. Rabbi Zak shows it in the Psukim, it shows very nicely the differences in the language. Okay.
Make sure it's not the basketball website.
Nast what?
It's not the basketball website.
Right. Now. Okay. Now. It's a private joke. Now. They were now ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. But we have the chet of the Meraglim. Now you look in Parashat Shlach, it seems like the idea to send the Meraglim comes from Hashem. Hashem says to Moshe, Shlach lecha, send for yourself spies. But in Sefer Devarim, it seems as if Parashat Devarim, the initiative came from the people. So how do you understand the discrepancy? Whose idea was it? So Chazal say, the people went to Moshe, Moshe went to Hashem, and Hashem said, Shlach lecha, if you want to send them, send them. You want to do it, do it. So we're sort of getting like the after the fact, Shlach lecha, yeah, if you want to do it, do it. But is it my idea? No, it's not my idea. Now, in Shlach, lifetime, right, when it was happening, all the people knew it was their idea. Okay, so there's no need to tell them, well, you know, you said it. And all that was necessary was to say, God actually gave the green light. That's what it says in Parashat Shlach, yes.
You spoke earlier about like David and Shlomo and like not David and Shlomo and like taking responsibility. Isn't this kind of like...
Oh, so let me get to the point of the speech. Okay? So in Parashat Shlach, everyone knew it was their idea. All they needed was to know, because not everyone spoke to God, right? Moshe said, I spoke with my friend, we call him God, and he said, you want to do it? Do it. Shlach lecha. That was necessary in Parashat Shlach. What was necessary here to the second generation was Musar. Take responsibility for your actions. This all came about because you decided to say, I know God said we should go there, and I know that God said it's a great place, but you know, I really think we should check it out. And I know God helped us in all these other battles, but you know, who knows what's going to happen again, so we should really go and have a scouting report. And therefore, Moshe is trying to tell them, take responsibility. Give me a second. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman explains, using that, all the differences between Shlach and Devarim. So I'll point out ideas. He says the purpose of this speech is not history, but rather Musar. And therefore, there's no mention in Parsha Devarim about the bad report that, you know, the spies brought back. Just about the good report and then the rebellion. Okay, that was conveniently left out. Similarly, there's no mention of Parsha Devarim that 10 people said, you know, not to go, and only 2 people said to go. And third, there's no mention in Parsha Devarim about the greatness of the Meraglim, the great people who went, because all 3 of those things. A bad report was brought back by 10 great people. That would give a very good excuse. People would send second generation and say, I can see why they messed up. Moshe doesn't want to let anyone have an excuse, a person to blame and say, well, you can't really blame them. I mean, it was 10 to 2. They were great people. I mean, there was a bad report that was brought back. And so therefore, Moshe leaves out all of that and just says, a good report was brought back and you guys rebelled after having asked for it. You know, and therefore, you need to take responsibility, right? We don't talk about how great the people were. This is, according to Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, the focus of the speech. Yes, what do you want to say?
It makes me think about, like the rabbi told me that, what is a good choice? Whatever the choice you do, you must take your responsibility after.
Right. You have to live with it.
So you have different options, but if you want to go in this way, at least take
right.
your responsibility.
Whatever you did, now just, you know.
Then if you do.
Right. So he's saying that's it. So the message is to take responsibility. The message is not to repeat mistakes. The message is have a munah and Hashem. Okay. Moshe says, now again, interesting, another discrepancy. Moshe's telling the second generation, and I warned them, I told them, do not be scared, God will fight God will be on our side, just like God helped us in Egypt and did all the Makot, and God helped us in the Midbar. Now, what are you thinking? Moshe didn't talk. Who spoke? Yoshua and Kalev. Also, once again, Moshe's taking the credit. Right? So, yes, what do you want to suggest?
That Moshe was the one that told them.
Okay, I don't know. I'll tell you an idea.
When it was Yoshua that spoke.
In Shlach, it's Yoshua and Kalev that speak.
Yeah.
Moshe and Aaron fall on their faces. Right? But over here, Moshe's like, and I told them. So, really? Let me go rewind. I don't see that. Oh, I guess that scene was cut, you know? It didn't make the final cut. So, yeah.
Question. Can you say that the people have some kind of excuse? Because, like, we know that, you know, the prophets rely on miracles.
Again, Moshe's leaving out all miracles, all excuses. Moshe's saying, you asked for this. There was a good report brought back. I told you not to be scared. God's going to be with you just like it was before. And you rebelled anyway. Take responsibility. Don't make the same mistake.
Well, look, I'm saying the entire, the theoretical logic behind sending the spies, it's justified.
Oh, in Shlach, we discussed about how it's justified. The Ramban felt there was nothing wrong with sending the spies. It was just the way they overstepped their mission, decided to say, and I think, you know, that wasn't, your job is not to think, just to bring back facts. How do we understand? That Mikra suggests as follows. We don't see that Moshe rebuked them. We see that Yoshua and Kalev rebuked them. We see that Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces. It could very well be that Moshe did rebuke them after having fallen on his face, says that Mikra. But as far as that generation was concerned, the impression that was long-lasting was Moshe falling on his face. And that's what's written there. The fact that afterwards he got up there and said, yeah, what he said, you know, is not as important as, oh my God, our leaders are speechless and are falling on their face. And that's the way it's written that way. Yes? Okay, now God tells, and Moshe says to them, God got angry with me. He said, not just with you, God got angry with me because of you. Biglalchem. Because of this whole incident, God got angry at me. The Abar Benel suggests such an interesting interpretation. The sin that prevented Moshe from entering Eretz Yisrael was not Mei Meriva, hitting the rock. The sin that prevented Moshe was Chet Meraglim. The sin that prevented Aaron was Chet HaEgel. This is where they messed up. But out of kavod to Moshe and Aaron, they were given a second chance. And then Mei Meriva was like the straw that broke the camel's back. But in and of itself, that was not worthy of being banished from Israel. But Chet HaMeraglim, that caused the whole generation to die out. That's where Moshe sinned. Now, the Abar Benel says the sin was inadvertent. Rabbi Dan explains it. The Abar Benel's idea is saying Moshe's sin was combining, I think we said this when we learned Shlach, two missions. One purpose was come back and tell us what the land looks like. Go as tourists. That's what it said over there. The word Meraglim is not even mentioned in Shlach. But then the people said, you know, we should really scout out for military tactics. So Moshe, all right, I'm sending these tourists anyway. While you're there, go check out. Okay, they're the wrong people. And that was his sin. Was it a sin? It was a mistake. It was a mistake sending these people to do this particular mission. But because of the sin or the mistake, we have, the tragedy of the Meraglim. Now, Rav Soloveitchik says it's a very interesting idea. What does it mean, biglalchem? Because of you, I can't go in. Listen now, this is such a meaningful idea. Had Bnei Yisrael had Moshe's back, the way Moshe repeatedly had Bnei Yisrael's back, Moshe would have been able to go in. Meaning what? God now decreed, all right, Moshe, that's it. They're dying out, and you're not going in. Had Bnei Yisrael said, what? Moshe's not going in? After all he's done for us? No way. We won't stand for it. We demand that you let Moshe in. God would have had no choice but to say, okay, if Moshe can do that by Chet HaEgel, if Moshe can do that by Chet Meraglim, one person could save all the sinners, said Rav Soloveitchik, had B'nai Israel took a stand. They'd taken a stand and complained to Hashem and said, we demand that Moshe be let in. God would have had to let him lead them in. Had Moshe led them in, he would have been Melech HaMashiach. History would have been totally different. And therefore, Biglal Chem isn't because, oh yeah, the Chet Meraglim was Biglal Chem. Is where were you? And Rav Soloveitchik says again, Parshat Betchanan, when Moshe's davening 512 times, and God says, enough. Had the Bnei Yisrael davened even once, that would have been enough. Very strong, no? Yes. One second. I like it also. It's very strong.
One, did Bnei Yisrael even know that Hashem said this?
Yes, Moshe says that they know Moshe was not allowed to go in.
Okay, and also, two, Bnei Yisrael just royally screwed up.
Right.
You have these, you're gonna have a nation of people who just did something terrible, who complain to God.
I don't know.
You're like, it's not fair, like.
I don't know.
You're just gonna like,
I mean, he's doing that anyway to them.
He's doing that anyway. I'm just saying. What's it to stop him just doing it now instead of in 4 years?
I don't know. I love the message. I love the message. Right? What a beautiful message. Right? He was there for you throughout the 40 years. And you weren't there for him in the moment that he needed you. Right? What an important message for us. Think about your parents who take care of you. Are we there for them when they need us? Right? It's a very strong message. Yes, Matan?
Can we suggest that that's what the Mapilim now, like,
the Mapilim, then go in now, as we're up to now, no, so we can do it.
Can we suggest that the reason they went up
is so that Moshe should be able to lead them?
Meaning, like, they say, like, oh, Hashem is not going to let us go, and let's just go, and we want to get Moshe. Like, can we say that was...
I mean, maybe, except Moshe tries to talk them out of it and say, God's not with you, it's not going to work. I don't know. There is a Hasidish idea, I think we said it before, that Reuven and Gad, when they wanted to stay on the other side, they did it so that Moshe would retroactively be in Israel, because that would now turn into Israel. So there is a Hasidish idea, it's a nice idea, right? If you can't bring, you know, Mohammed to the mountain, we'll bring mountain to Mohammed. So, like, you know, we'll bring Eretz Yisrael to where Moshe is, possibly, you know? Yeah.
But is it too late?
I don't know. I don't know.
He has to be sincere. I don't. Yeah. Come from them.
I don't. I just think it's such a strong message. Anyway. That what?
Like he puts down. He
throws it on them. A guilt trip. A guilt trip.
Yeah.
Guilt trip. So you say Laraska? That's in French. Anyway.
Arabic.
All of Israel cries. Yeah.
How does he know?
I don't know. This is what he says. This is interpretation. Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation. A big lalchem because of you. Now, all of Israel cries after the failed attempt of the Ma'apilim, and they end up staying at Kadesh Barnea, as we said last time, 19 years. They continue the journey with the following instructions. Number one, Edom, which is the descendants of Esav. Don't start up with them. That's your brother. He's got Har Seir, but you're allowed to purchase food. Instruction number two, Moab and Ammon, don't start up with them, because who are they descendants of? Lot. These are Benot Lot. And out of gratitude to Lot, according to Chazal, that he kept his mouth shut and didn't say that Sarah was Avraham's wife. So we don't start up with them. Then Moshe sent a peace overture to Sichon, Melech Amori. Can I travel through your land? And God hardened his heart. Says Rav Meidan, what does it mean God hardened his heart? He just watched every other country say, don't bother, don't even think about coming through here. So he's going to be the softy that says, go here. So he said, every other country, says, get out of here. You're not invited. You're not allowed in. He says, oh, I'm not going to let them in. So because of that, he then went out to fight. And Baruch Hashem, we then captured all of that land. And we took the spoils of war. And that battle caused all the neighboring nations to fear Israel. Afterwards, the Torah discusses the victory over Og and his territory. Moshe then gave the 2.5 tribes this land on condition they fight. Now, the Ramban says Moshe would have preferred to have all 12 tribes in the smaller piece of land, having them all grouped together. But this is what happened. Moshe then encouraged Yoshua, telling him his battle in Eretz Yisrael will have similar results to the victories that I had over here on the East Bank. Don't be scared. God is with you. And the speech continues in Parshat Ve'etchanan.